The Son and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. Today, brothers and sisters, we remember the entrance of the Theotokos into the temple, and we venerate the Most Holy Mother of God. Every great feast is a reminder and renewal of God's promises for each of the faithful, for each person who believes in Him and who strives to keep His commandments. What promises does the Lord give to us? On Pascha, we remember God's promise to resurrect each person who believes in Him after death, and to give him divine and abundant life, a life about which the Apostle Paul says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." On the feast of the meeting of the Lord in the temple, we're reminded of God's promise, and the Lord again confirms His promise that meeting with God is possible for any person. So what promise does the Lord give us through this feast, the entry of the Theotokos into the temple? We've come to church to worship Him and to hear an important word from Him. After what was said last night, we know how this feast was established and what event it honors. Today, then, let us remember the most important thing. The temple of God is man himself. Each of us is foreordained to be a temple of God. And today we commemorate how the Most Holy Theotokos fulfilled just this role and fully received the joy of this promise of God. She herself entered the temple. She abode in the Holy of Holies. She was filled with grace, and she herself became then a temple of God, into which the Lord himself came and abode. Hear the astounding words of the Dogmaticon of the feast, which we sang last night. Today, the Mother of God is shown to be heaven and the temple of God. She herself became heaven, a spiritual world, and the temple of divine life. The Lord came to dwell in her according to God's promise that man can and should and in fact is preordained to be the true temple of God within this creation. This physical temple in which we're worshiping today is an icon of the kingdom of heaven, of the spiritual world, and of we ourselves. Let's remember God's promises to those who are faithful to Him. Here's what our Lord Himself has said. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Apostle Paul asks, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And a bit later in the same book, he asks again, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" God, who loves mankind, boundlessly gives himself wholly to man, like a father or a mother. A father and mother want nothing more than to give all of their experience, their mind, their love, to their children, as if to come to abide in their children, so that the children will possess the spiritual treasures of wisdom, the deep feelings, and the love that the parents have. If the father or mother were able, they would dissolve all their best qualities into their children. This is near to the heart and understandable, I think, to every parent. Well, so it is, brothers and sisters, with the Word, with the Lord God. He wants also to unite with every person, to give his infinite treasures to his children, whom he has created. What are we called to call God? What are we taught to call God but our Father? So this is the calling that is foreordained for every human being. But we know from experience that we forget about this goal of human life. And most people living on the earth don't even think about it. But if we love our neighbors, then we should remember that if we recognize this calling, then we bear a responsibility not only for our own soul, not only for our own life, but also for all of those whom we love and who abide themselves in our souls. Because if we ourselves become the temples of the living God, then we can also contain within this temple all those that we embrace and that we love. Even those, of course, who don't go to church or are not religious. We don't know how, but we believe that no prayer and none of our love for our neighbors is in vain, even for those who are entirely unbelieving. The Lord commands us to love everyone, and he commands us not just for the sake of making up some commandment, but because we are the instruments of the world's salvation. We are the instruments of God within this world. And when a person is made worthy, even a little bit, to perceive that God lives in him, then he understands the Savior's words, "The kingdom of God is within you." For if a person becomes a temple of God, if God abides in him, then the whole universe abides within him. St. Ignatius once expressed this very beautifully, St. Ignatius Brianchaninov. "Do not get enraptured, O man, with the visible creation. Do not merely contemplate its seemingly infinite beauty. Delve into your own soul, and there you will see an amazing sight. There you will see first the grave and hell to which your passionate soul is destined. Then you'll see the cherubim who guard the gates of Eden, the kingdom of heaven. And then you will see the heavenly kingdom itself. And the beauty of that sight will so draw you inward that you will leave behind the glory of the whole visible world. It will not do so because we're supposed to look within, but because what is beheld there is infinitely higher, more meaningful, and more beautiful than what we can behold with these eyes in the physical world. We are called by God to contain the very Lord of creation within ourselves. We are called by God to know by experience his eternal life and to become true participants in it. And the Mother of God guides the faithful Orthodox Christians along precisely this path, which she herself walked by God's grace. But if something goes wrong, if a man disdains this promise of God and says instead, "I don't need this," then he destroys his own temple. He destroys the temple of his soul. The Lord warns all of mankind about this. And while it might be a little terrifying, it's nonetheless true that this is also God's promise. Quote, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." That's from 1 Corinthians. Or as St. James writes, "Do you suppose it is in vain that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit which he has made to dwell within us?" If a person does not respond in any way to God's fatherly love, the love about which we're talking now, then God departs from him and leaves him alone with himself and with the devil. For our Lord never forces himself on anyone. And then that terrible thing happens about which Paul spoke just above. But brothers and sisters, let this not be so with us. Let us all pray today to the Mother of God to the most holy sovereign queen, who like no one else fulfilled the goal of human life to its fullest extent. She greatly desired the temple of God. She entered into that temple. She received all from it that is possible to receive, and she herself became heaven and a temple of divinity. Through her prayers, may our Lord make us too into his temples, eternally full of eternal life and light and every other good thing. Amen.